Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Point. I'm Don Allen with my co-host, Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. We're both broadcasting nationally. I'm here in Washington, D.C., and Mr. Edwards, where are you?
I'm in Kansas City, Missouri, Don, down here in the heartland. A beautiful day here in Kansas City. Came for football game. Kansas City Chiefs, though, lose to the Oakland Raiders 16-13 overtime. By the way, Maya, you're in D.C., the Minnesota Vikings, under the leadership of Joe Webb, the black quarterback, defeated the Washington Skins in your town there, 33-26. Joe Webb bang at least four touchdowns, if you will. Adrian Peterson, though, looks like he suffered a serious knee injury, hoping for the best. But anyways, black quarterback leads them to victory. Well, we're going to make a flanker out of Joe Webb anyway. Don, what's up? What do we got? First of all, man, happy holiday to you and the family, and particularly to your son. And wish you the best out there in D.C. I see we finally got that tax extension out there.
Yeah, it was about time. You know, the Republicans was fighting it tooth and nail. You know, it seems like anything that Obama puts out, they try to cut it off at the legs, even if they agree with it or not. It just really doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, that's what created the differences between the Republicans in the Senate and the Republicans in the House, man, because Mitch McConnell was pretty ticked off at the fact that his guys over on the Senate side had gone ahead and done what they felt and was certainly the right thing for over 160 million Americans, and then other little beady boppers over there, you know, on the Republican side, just went to acting crazy. But I guess they got it together there. I remember everybody's on their way out of Washington now, back to their home districts or states, and so I guess everything is happy days. And man, back up in Minnesota, they tell me it's happy days for you coloreds, if you will. $28 million in the big part, so it means a lot of jobs, a lot of development. Is that right, Don?
Yeah, that's what they say. You know, I was tuned into the local urban radio station on Friday morning at approximately 9:45. They had Sandra Samuels and Miss Julene Jackson, and you know Julene Jackson, the former director of the Miss Black Minnesota pageant back in the day. Goes on with her and Sandra Samuels. Went on to say, if and this is a quote, says, if things don't get better after 5 years, I will step down. And I'm saying, oh, you know, we must have a name.
That's pretty white of her, because, let me see, 5 years, that'll be about, what, $1.5 million in salary and $28 million that didn't work out. Well, you know, man, that is a magnanimous gesture. Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? She'll step down after 5 years, right? Now, is Julene Jackson her new administrative deputy, or what? What's Julene's role? I'm not understanding.
Julene Jackson, for lack of a better word, navigators who will go out and deal with families. And, you know, there's a lot of people.
You're breaking up a little bit, Don. I don't know if it's across the end. Maybe.
Okay. I will.
Power.
I will adjust it here. Julene Jackson, as I was saying, Jay Price, who was a big public policy guy in Minneapolis, but he could not answer the question on what was the public policy for people in North Minneapolis, and never seen no any documentation to that point. So, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions, Mr. Edwards, but, you know, that's really nice of her telling the community on KMOJ and talking real, you know, sister girl on the air, that she will step down in 5 years. And I just think, you know, it's an opportunity for them to have a name change in 5 years. You know, they already went from the Peach Foundation to NAS. Now they can do something else, you know, go into construction with the Ackerberg Group or something.
Okay, well, that's obviously a political correct situation. I don't get the job done in 5 years. Kind of sound like a politician. Most politicians other than United States senators are given 6 years. And, of course, federal judges are given lifetime appointments. But, hey, man, I guess that was a magnanimous gesture. So Now we got, as we move into 2012, we're getting ready to engage in a $1 billion economic development uplift along Broadway. You think there'll be any black folk left to enjoy that?
No, I think what they're planning is to reach this past week when you know, the city foreclosed on Mr. Copeland, Richard Copeland, and breaking it up and delivering it to the Ackerberg Group and Catalyst Community Partners. And the
business that I see is that you're really breaking up. I'm not hearing you, but go ahead. Hopefully the signal's coming across better. We'll get a phone call from somebody to tell us if they can hear both of us. But I understand what you're saying to the extent of knowing the subject matter. Now, EMA Mortensen is going to be the general contractor for the Ackerberg Group with this massive $1 billion redevelopment. Is that right?
That's what I understand to be true, Mr. Edwards. Yes.
Okay. So I'm told that OIC and Lewis King have been designated by Congressman Keith Ellison as the place that black folks will have to go through if they want to get jobs. Is that right?
Yeah, and there's something that is true, Mr. Edwards, but also something else came out this week. MnDOT is starting their own training program. And I'll repeat this. MnDOT is starting their own training program. They're actually paying individuals to go through their work and their training and then get jobs on the highways, bridges, and roads in Minnesota. And I think this is going to put go ahead.
Well, no, I think you were getting ready to say so what does this do for the training organizations like the Urban League and OIC, who Dunwoody and places like that that allegedly train people?
I think that eventually in the next 6 to 8 months they will become non-existent. I think the only one that's going to be left standing is maybe Summit Academy, OIC. But if MnDOT's doing this and MnDOT has the money to do it, they must have found a better way. You know, they recently just hired from Summit Academy, OIC, Mr. Alex Tittle, who was one of the head lieutenants over there with Major King at Summit Academy OIC. And, you know, he's probably in there working, wheeling and dealing and doing a great job. And he says, hey, you know, if we got the brains here, why don't we do it ourselves? You know, and I saw the application. It actually was forwarded to me by Lenny Chisholm of Springboard Economic Development Corporation. And it lays out a plan for individuals to sign up with MnDOT on the spot and get in there and get some training and some real training, get certified and get out on the job. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next couple of months here.
Wow. So this ties into the rumor that MnDOT was tired of taking hits because one of the problems they were having that they didn't want to embarrass the African-American community about, though I take that with a grain of salt, but that they were getting a poor quality of trainee from some of the organizations like OIC. Is that what this is all about?
Well, I think that's one of the top markers, Mr. Edwards, because you know and I know a lot of the graduates from Summit Academy OIC have not found work within the construction field or within highway heavy work with MnDOT or any of the subcontractors. And part of that is that I talked to one gentleman, his name is Ronnie, he doesn't mind if I use his first name, who was a graduate of Summit Academy OIC, who told me that, well, they gave him the answers to the test and, you know, he didn't really learn anything and he could never get a job. And so he had to return to college, a regular college. He could, you know, get a degree and move on. And I know a couple of guys that went through the program that work in local nonprofits in North Minneapolis who aren't in that field. One's a surveyor and the other guy's a highway heavy and cement layer who just said that he couldn't find any work and the unions and the construction companies don't really acknowledge what's done at Summit Academy OIC.
Wow, isn't that interesting? That raises some rather serious questions about competency and as you said earlier, the future of these organizations. But certainly, and by the way, now let's just throw the number out just in case folks are interested maybe in calling in and asking any questions about our observations, because I understand the discussion continues. In fact, I think the host on the contemporary station there in Minneapolis yesterday hinted that there shouldn't be any criticism and et cetera. So, you know, why don't we just throw that phone number out in case anybody wants to call us?
Sure. That toll-free number is 877-572-4288. Again, that number is 877-572-4288. And our phone lines are open here at On Point.
All right. And we're at different places in the country, Washington,
yep.
D.C., Kansas City, Missouri, if you will. We're doing a lot of fact-finding over the next week, week and a half, by the time we return next Saturday. But on this radio program at this urban station, I understand that the host was rather critical, that people are raising questions. I'm not going to play their game and use the word being negative or critical or et cetera, because you're raising facts. I mean, if the facts are inflammatory, you know, negative and et cetera, I mean, that can't be your fault as a journalist to make sure that the issues are known. I mean, we try to be consistent across the board. In fact, there are some issues that we have talked amongst ourselves that we purposely have not said anything because they are so controversial and so inflammatory. I mean, you know, such as the killing of individuals in beatings inside of churches and places like that. You know, but, you know, so we're not supposed to talk about this $28 million, by the way? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, we're not supposed to have any criticism for it. We're supposed to sit back and watch for 5 years and support them, basically. And
okay. This
is much like, to me, you know, this is kind of a setup of the empowerment zone. You know, we're supposed to do the same thing when the empowerment zone money got into North Minneapolis. We're supposed to sit back and watch and not criticize and not ask any questions. And yet you still hear about the empowerment zone, but it's in places on Franklin and Chicago, Franklin and 12 in South Minneapolis. And that was really supposed to be used for North Minneapolis. And a lot of those people that were politically connected, of course, with Don Samuels and the city of Minneapolis, had their loans forgiven, you know, to the tune of $200,000, $400,000.
You're breaking up just a tad again now. We were coming in pretty clear there for a while. Now, I know there was a meeting in North Minneapolis there by the Catalyst Group and Ackerberg and them, but I understood that the Fourth Estate, that the media was put out of the meeting because I think Ms. Samuel said, I don't want to see myself on YouTube. But nobody had any problems being on YouTube when the announcement was made that the $28 million was going to be coming into North Minneapolis, or at least a small portion of North Minneapolis.
Well, you know,
You
know, this is it, Mr. Edwards, the kind of way you're getting at. There's no mention of what it is, if there's going to be jobs or just education. But, you know, 50-plus organizations came together, and the Minneapolis Public Schools, the Minnesota Department of Education, a lot of these people played big roles in guiding this money toward Sandra Samuels and the Northside Achievement Zone. And so you really don't know all the hands that are in it until you take a look at the kind of thing that happened and who the partners are. But it's very interesting to see this kind of coup they put together. And I was just looking at that and, like I said, this is just incredible.
Now, I understand they're hiring. I'm going to kind of be like, you know, the commentators on the Sunday shows. Now, they're already hiring staff and top-line staff and et cetera. You were saying that Ms. Jackson, as an example, is going to be like a navigator. Well, we've heard the navigator before. That came out of the tornado situation. Navigators who never had any relationships with the folks. So the top-line staff, of course, is already – now, where is the headquarters of this new $28 million piece going to be? It certainly can't be in the 1200 building there where you folks attended a meeting in a cold cafeteria. So are a new headquarters planned or what?
You know what? You would think that the possibility that right in the Minneapolis Public Schools Crystal Palace they're building on Broadway Avenue. I'm
Well, that building's owned by the Ackerberg Group, so I guess, and that's not a fraudulent slip here in this corner. The Crystal Palace is owned by Ackerberg, and so Ackerberg can really decide who becomes a tenant in there. No one has really explored that. But by the way, Don, let me ask you this question. Hope we don't break up too bad. Again, just doing the kind of analysis that are required. In the matter of the statistical data that was forwarded to the Department of Health and Human Services, that data is not current any longer because of the tornado. Is that going to be addressed?
They're not now, but you're absolutely correct, Mr. Edwards. That data that went in originally that grant and based on the numbers in the zone water is incorrect. And so, I mean, I don't know how they're going to backpedal.
Okay, you break it up quite a bit. We're really having bad reception in some respects. But, yeah, again, my question, in case we didn't, is that the data that was used that was submitted to the Department of Human Services that Undersecretary Shelton was talking about, that data was not current as of the demographics and et cetera on the occasion of the announcement. I mean, at least one third of the population in that area of the achievement zone, bounded by 35th on the north, Penn on the west, Broadway on the south, and North 6th Street, that area has been depleted of at least over a third of their population, primarily African Americans. So was that talked about on the air? Did the interviewer for the urban station, did he realize that? Is there going to be an adjustment?
You know, they're calling it holding, you know, we've heard this word before, promise for better futures. And I'm looking at a lot of the stuff that's been put out, Mr. Edwards, and they have not addressed the issue of the adjusting demographics there. And, you know, in the Star Tribune, they had her tears were coming down. And on KMLJ, she's talking real tough. And, you know, I just, at this point, I'm not sure exactly which direction they're going to go. Who's going to actually get a piece of the money? You know, Mr. Edwards, I sent an email to Scott Gray demanding that.
I think you said Scott Gray.
Scott Gray. I sent a letter, an email to him, actually demanding to take part, get his head out of the door, and contact them and see if, you know, see he can run up there and hover up under him and try to get some funding early.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering how they're going to work with that statistical data. Now, what about a clear and concise program to make sure that the parents of the little children that are going to be worked with and analyzed, that so much of this $28 million is to be directed towards? Is there a job plan? Is there going to be a CBA for the big billion-dollar hub project?
I don't see a community benefit agreement coming out of this at all. And I think that's because they have the Ackerberg Group. And it's really funny, the guys at the Ackerberg Group, these are all white males and white females and that convened the meeting Tuesday night this week. And just kind of spoke in terms of how great it's going to be over there and how wonderful and, you know, and this is the plan. They passed out little blueprints and the idea that they had for it. And it was very interesting. The thing about this, Mr. Edwards, this stuff is not just planned. This is planned. And my question is, where is the black community, the leaders or spokespersons or whatever they want to call themselves? Where are they at in this? You know, what have they really put together? These guys are planning behind the scenes, and it comes out, and it's the first time that really a lot of us have even heard about it. But after you read into what's going on, you know, this has been planned over a couple of years.
No doubt about it. That's the information even coming out of Washington. You know, one of the things we certainly like to suggest here at On Point is that it would certainly be nice for Ms. Sam Mills, the new chief executive officer of this proposition. You know, it'd be nice for her to write a get-out piece. You know, just don't confine yourself to a liberal urban contemporary station on the north side of Minneapolis who says that they're standing all across the country. By the way, they picked up our blog radio tactic. They maintain that they have links now to computers and people can hear them way out in California. So, so one of the things that I want to suggest, I certainly like to see an get-out piece from the leadership of the Achievement Zone, the North Side Achievement Zone. Again,
I would look at that. We'd like to, yeah, we definitely like to see what their plans are and how they figure everything into it. But you know, then again, I know a lot of people, Mr. Edwards, have their hands out. I know they're being bombarded with telephone calls. And this is based off someone that is actually in the 1200 building who frequents the offices of the Northside Achievement Zone, formerly the Peace Foundation. And so, I mean, people are calling with plans. And the thing is, if you don't play well with them, they're going to virtually ignore you. I mean, people knew that this was happening, this was coming down. That's why, you know, she was the spokesperson at the African-American Leadership Forum that they had not too long ago, the one, not this last one, at the IDS. Well, she's like the MC person, I guess you could call her.
Okay.
And, you know, they had her on the page of Revive, the glossy, shiny, beautiful African-American Leadership Forum magazine. And as much as they paid to print that magazine, they could, you know, get rid of them blue tarps over north, you know, and have a real plan of action for people.
Yeah, you know, they certainly could have, but geez, they haven't done that. And the people that are still living in those houses are under the most adverse of circumstances, if you will. We need to let our listening audiences around the country and around the world know that. That is really a sad commentary. Let me ask this, Don, as we kind of give our own background narrative of these organizations. Now, 3 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, the Peace Foundation was, you know, the talk of the city. Mayor R.T. Ryback was talking about that this was the answer to all the problems with respect to public safety and things like that, and they received some nice chunks of money. And, of course, as I've spoken to you and have talked about it on the programs, I mean, of course, the entire situation, including Ms. Sandra Samuels, is driven by former Governor Al Quie and that kind of philosophy and doctrine. Now, the Peace Foundation kind of disappeared. I never did see a final report, you know, to the community or et cetera about had mission been accomplished. We now know there's a timetable of five years, and we'll know if the empowerment zone has been accomplished, right? So my question is on this particular matter, the public safety issue, because, example, Thursday afternoon, we've been having a lot of daytime shootings now in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Thursday afternoon, about 4 o'clock or thereabouts, 21-year-old African-American young lady killed by her boyfriend, according to the official reports. Now, are we going to get back into addressing the violence, if you will? I mean, because absent a jobs program, economic development program, people are going to continue to be desperate and angry. Did she talk about what did she talk about, Don? Because I was on the move in transit. I mean, what did she talk about on the urban contemporary station?
Well, she was talking really tough, you know, and, you know, they had that banter, her and the host there back and forth on the critic piece, you know. He says, I know there's critics out there, but, you know, they're above reproach, and, you know, they welcome critics and went as far as saying the critics need to hold themselves accountable. And I said, wow, that's pretty interesting because, you know, if you're asking questions, she still hasn't answered my question about the $500,000 that they received from the Northwest Area Foundation and what that went to, because at the time, let me just go back here, it was around, I think we both talked about it on the air, and people can go back in the archives, let me see here, August 2010, if I'm not mistaken, and we talked about what was going on with the Peace Foundation moves away from peace in the effort to support NAS, or as I called it, NAS sense or nonsense.
Okay.
And if you look at the online, the mission of the Peace Foundation is organized to promote violence awareness and violence prevention in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota metropolitan area. So they have got credit for the 2009 drop in crime, and it was very interesting that as soon as they received that $500,000, Mr. Edwards, they pretty much moved away from the peace and jumped into the education piece, for lack of a better.
Right, and homicides went from, in our city up there in Minneapolis, went from 19 allegedly in 2009 to a little over 60 in 2010, and are going to basically close at an additional number of 60 this year, with basically 70% of the homicides just this year alone unsolved. And particularly we talk in terms of that very dangerous period when three African-American youngsters ages 13, 14, and 16 were killed over a period of 8 days. You know, none of those homicides have been solved, including the three African-American women gunned down in January of this year have gone unsolved. And that's an interesting observation that you make, is that after getting that $500,000, which certainly augmented, what were the salaries, around $90,000 back then, certainly kind of moved away from the violent aspect, if you will. And, again, like I said, I'm just trying to get a feel for what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, what it is going to be addressed. Now, the little children that the program is going to be directed towards, I repeat again, is there some kind of program? And I'm so tired of training. Is there going to be some kind of program which will allow the opportunity for the parents of these children to be hired and have actually meaningful employment at survival wages?
Well, you know what? They're not talking about that. You know what they're talking about, Mr. Edwards, is basically the early childhood education. She did say that, you know, you could look at a child or look at a student and see who's going to college and who's not.
Oh, can you?
And I'm like, wow.
What book did that come out of? What study is that?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, wow, she's got a big set on her, you know, to even make a statement like that. And and I was just like, wow. I mean, she is really playing tough on the air. And this just moves to the point that, you know, brothers and sisters in North Minneapolis have to get out and vote. They have to remove Don Samuels out of office, and they need to crush that political infrastructure, which means getting rid of Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Ryback by making him a private citizen. Let me go trap the DFL, you know. You know, with that
said, so she was just concentrating on early childhood. Well, what does that do for organizations like PICA and Alice Dillard, who has been the prime player, certainly in Minneapolis and Minnesota and national politics, and particularly as it pertains to children of color for over 30 years? Because I thought that's what PICA did.
Yeah, that is what PICA does. But, you know, I don't know for sure if PICA is even a partner, but while we're talking, I'm definitely going to check. And
I don't think they are. I've already checked. I don't see them as a partner in the proposition. Then there's some relationships in St. Paul, because one of the things that the Achievement Zone had forgotten to hold a press conference about was that they were a part of a $45 million package that had basically come in towards St. Paul and some of the Native American tribes 2 weeks before. And so my understanding is right now the Achievement Zone is looking at assets of about $35 million.
Yes, easily.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I'm looking here at, you know, the partner schools, according to their website here today, is Nellystone Johnson.
Now, Nellystone Johnson, you're breaking up a little bit, but Nellystone Johnson, Minneapolis Public School, right?
Yeah, Elizabeth Hall Elementary, CYC Arts and Technology High School, Patrick Henry High School, chapter.
Okay, yeah, I kind of lost you on this end. You broke up, but I'm pretty sure those are the same schools, that public schools, Minneapolis public schools.
Yeah.
So this is a significant $28 million federal partnership with the Minneapolis Public School District. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. And is there a listing of the board of directors of the – because I know that Chris Stewart, a former board member – I think he's someone that tweeters with you there once in a while, not too happy always. I understand Chris Stewart quietly moved himself into a position with the Achievement Zone by starting out by saying he is a volunteer, but I understand he's now a member of the board. Do you have the board roster there in front of you?
I am actually looking it up right now as we speak, Mr. Edwards, because that was very interesting, and I have it right here. The NAS Board of Directors are Ann Mastin from the University of Minnesota Institute of Child Development,
mm-hmm.
Ann Long, Plymouth Christian Youth Center, Art Rolinek, University of Minnesota, Human Capital Research Collaborative, and here we go, Chris Stewart, former school board member.
Yeah, Chris didn't know that I knew that he was on the board, had been moved into position. I had probably maybe next week's program would hopefully making sure we have better transmission. We'll talk in terms of the scenario. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Mr. Al. Who else there? We got Chris. Okay, who else?
Stuart Ackerberg from the Ackerberg Group.
Stuart Ackerberg. Oh, okay.
Peter Bell, former Metropolitan Council Chair. Father Michael O'Connell, Church of Ascension. Christina Limmer, Minneapolis Youth Coordinating Board, Dr. John Williams, John Williams Family Dentistry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And John Moriel, University of Minnesota Carlson School of Management, and Frank Forsberg, Twin Cities United Way, and Erica Binger, McKnight Foundation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Binger family. Yes. In fact, what was which Binger girl was that? What was that name again?
Erica.
That's Erica. That's our friend. Erica worked incognito, clandestinely up at the Broadway YMCA. Not the Y, but the YMCA. Got a lot of intel, and in the summer of 2009 and then into 2010, laid out an interesting manifesto about Black leadership, the failure, and et cetera, and then she also was working out of the Blaisdell Y facility. And yes, Erica has some interesting observations about the Black community. So she's on the board also. Oh, okay. So where are the common folk, the South 40, as I like to call them? Where are that? I haven't heard you give me any names of any.
That's it, Mr. Edwards. There are no common folks. I mean, there's nobody. You know, that we can call up and say, hey, you know, what's going on here? We can't call Al Flowers. We can't call Reverend McAfee. We can't call Louis King. We can't call Randy Statton. We can't call Bill.
Oh, they were all cut out, weren't they?
Yes.
Now, let me say that a name that is missing, but who is a special advisor to the board and the program and is being highly talented in Washington, where you're at now, Mr. Allen, is having the answer for the the medicating of the Negro community, Dr. Dante Cicchetti, my good friend, Dr. Dante Cicchetti. See, Dr. Cicchetti is the special clinical and therapeutic advisor to them, and his plan is when he gets through, our little children will look like a bunch of zombies. In fact, is there a piece there on their website that talks in terms of counseling, services, and et cetera? Do they show who are the clinical advisors to the board, or is it just the members sitting on the board?
It doesn't get that deep. It's very superficial, Mr. Edwards. I'm looking at it right now here in Washington, D.C., and it's very It's very dry and bland. They don't get into the detail of that. And, you know, I am going to call and ask, see if we can get some kind of information on that. So.
Because it's clear that there's really not a presence of community. In fact, there also is no presence of protectors, anybody to even argue. I mean, let me give you an example. One of the most eminent and qualified voices as it pertains to early child care, mental development, et cetera, is Professor Francine Jacolas of Augsburg.
Okay.
And I notice I don't hear that name anywhere. I mean, she has excellent credentials, and that was the name I was listening for if you were talking in terms of dealing with the mental health problems of the African-American community, but it's not there. But I'm glad I asked the question, Mr. Allen, so that we can get it out on the air, who the board is, if you will. Now you need to find out who the special consultants are.
Yes.
To the organization. Yes, yes. Because when these folks get through, the African-American child will be a zombie. And a non-functional entity. It's really a shame, man. Up in that state, that this kind of, you know, this is really what they're going to be about is experimental medicine. And give me a phone number again. Maybe some of the supporters of the program who may be listening in from their Christmas shopping, because I know they're already spending that $28 million. Maybe, you know, may want to call in and chastise us a little bit for our statements.
Okay, that number is 877-572-4288. Again, that number is 877-572-4288.
Yes. The reason I raised the question, I had an opportunity to spend some time with, because this is a much stronger black community here in Kansas City, just as you will find in Washington. And I had a chance to talk with, because of this anticipated program and et cetera, with some extremely qualified and preeminent experts from the Rogers Health Center here in the central city of Kansas City. And I ran a couple of things by them with respect to this program and the funding, because this funding has gone into other places, as you probably know, San Antonio, Texas, New Orleans, Memphis, places like that. And I was not necessarily surprised, but I was saddened by what I've heard from black experts that I consider to be knowledgeable and have the best interests of the community. They are very much aware of the doctrine, the Chiketty doctrine. And there's a lot of discussion going on about at conferences and et cetera, what the University of Minnesota's mental health experts are saying about this experimental program going on in their city, in our city, Don, if you will. And, man, that's why I asked the question, who are the board? Well, there it is right there, man. So, well, you know, don't want to belabor it. No one has any calls or anything. Well, we got about 19 minutes left. What else we got, Don, other than homicides and brutality, and the city continues to make payouts. Oh, by the way, you're to be congratulated, sir, because it was you 4 days before the mainstream media confirmed it and revealed it, who indicated who former majority leader Koch's lover was, and that whole scandal that has rocked the foundation of the Republican Party in Minnesota. Want to commend you on that, Don.
Yeah, thank you.
For anybody that wants to question it, go back on demand, catch last week's program. Mr. Allen was naming who the individual was that has broken up, quote unquote, the family of, and cost her powerful position as majority leader of the Minnesota Senate. So kudos, Don. Kudos.
Yes. You know, I've been talking about this, you know, for a little while here, based on Michael Broadcorp's Twitter. The way when he tweets on Twitter and just looking at it and figuring out what he's doing, and then how Amy Cook was acting. It's very funny. The gay community apologizes to Amy Cook for ruining her marriage, and they sent a story in the City Pages by Kevin Hoffman. It says the gay and lesbian community of Minnesota has issued a letter of apology to recently resigned Senate Majority Leader Amy Cook for ruining the institution of marriage and causing her to stray from her husband and engage in an inappropriate relationship. So they went after tooth and nail. And this is also on the verge of, you knew things were going bad when, we just get the right date here, so we're absolutely correct. I want to stay in sync in this. You know, earlier this year, Michael Broadkirk's wife called 911 because of the level of anger in his voice. It scared her.
Oh, my.
Yes, yes. And this is the time that, that you know, it was alleged that these two were bopping each other, hanging out real tight. And, you know, I told someone the other day in the Republican Party in Minnesota, back there in Minnesota, Mr. Edwards, I says, you know what? If you're going to do something like that, I don't care whose hotel room you stay in, but you rent two hotel rooms. Okay? These idiots went in one hotel room. Okay? So in different places where they were, you know, she can't, neither one of them can go back and say, well, you know, that's not true because I was in my room. You know, they both were on the same
right.
room and they had one hotel room. So they're busted hands down busted. So.
Let me ask you, Don, I have to ask this question because around the country, with the exception of New York, San Francisco, and Houston, I mean, people aren't as familiar with, you know, the kind of looking the other way of the gay and lesbian piece. Why would the gay and lesbian community apologize for breaking up her marriage? I'm not understanding. Am I missing something?
Well, this is the piece how the Republicans say they believe in family. They're against the Republicans say they're against marriage, and you know they're the Christian fundamentalists that you know marriage
against gay marriage. Yes,
gay
yes.
marriage. And the Christian fundamentalist institution of marriage is one to be upheld in high standards, and you know the Republicans just don't engage in that kind of activity. So,
which we all know isn't true.
Yeah, exactly. And
right.
So what happened was basically they just said, hey, you know, you must have been looking at us and seeing how wild we were, and we're just going to apologize because you slipped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. Wow. Well, again, like I said, Mr. Allen, you'd be commended because you certainly broke the story when no one else was, when everybody was pretending they didn't know who her lover was, if you will, in this inappropriate relationship that cost her the most powerful position in the Minnesota legislature, and by extension, and then that being the Senate, and by extension, making her one of the most powerful politicians in the state of Minnesota. And I noticed a lot of the Democrats have really been playing nice on this one, if you will, just kind of, you know, snickering a little bit, but, you know, not saying a lot. And so, you know, I imagine everybody's always concerned about, you know, on their side of the aisle, some things may come out. But that's interesting. Oh, well, you know, what the heck can we say? What else do we have, Mr. Allen, up there in Minnesota? Anything else going on?
On this Tuesday, let me roll this tape from the Minneapolis Public School Board meeting on Tuesday night at 8:07 Broadway. I'll just roll the tape, and then we'll go from there. Here we go.
Okay.
Last night has tabulated the votes, and based on the voting, our new board member is Kim Ellison.
All right.
Yeah!
Speech. There, Mr. Edwards.
Now, that is the Kim Ellison, the former wife of the congressional congressman from the 5th Congressional District up there in Minnesota, Keith Ellison, his very lovely wife. She is also the chair of the Education Committee of the NAACP, probably the only functional chair they've got. But, you know, really congratulations to her, an excellent educator, a very sincere human being. But why did your leaders, Don, so deeply oppose her, including Chris Stewart and others who denounced her and demanded that the board appoint a board member who had been defeated last year? Why in the heck did they do that, man?
You know, I'm still knocking my head against the wall and trying to figure that out. And Ms. Ellison did tell me that they wanted to interview her. You know, they wanted to interview her and...
Well, you mean the school board?
No, the African American Leadership Forum, who actually sent the recommendation letter for T. Williams, who you said was defeated by the voters in 2010. So T. Williams actually went to the interview. So did David DeGrio, who also went to the interview. And Kim Ellison could not fit it in her schedule. It was not convenient for her to make those interviews. And she felt that, you know, from me talking to her personally, I actually have a picture of her and I at this 807 right before she won. Because I told her, I said, we got to take a picture because you're going to win. I already know. I already wrote the story.
Okay.
And so the funny thing is she did not interview with them, and so a letter signed by Chris Stewart and who also Bill English, who also said that he recommended T. Williams, who was also at the school board meeting.
Now this is William English, the former headmaster of the now bankrupt and no longer in existence City Inc. Alternative school. The same William English?
Same William English. And I was it was because how can you go to a guy that you know, they want control in there. And Kim Ellison's not for
control. You're breaking up just a bit, Don. I'm breaking up just a bit.
Okay, I'm just saying that Kim Ellison is not falling. She's humble. She's sincere, like you said. She's a straight shooter. And she's not going to fall for any of that undercover black bag dirty trick crap from the African-American Leadership Forum. And I think they felt that, and that's why, you know, T. Williams was their man.
Okay. Well, now... So that the public understands the reason we're giving so much emphasis to that here on point is that unfortunately that same leadership botched the election back in November of 2010, and for the first time in 35 years, the results of the election of November 2010 dictated that there was no African American on the Board of Education. First time in 35 years.
Yes,
and so I imagine this was kind of their comeback. Is that right? Because I know they were unhappy with us talking about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Both prior to the election of 2010,
that was
after.
Their comeback to try to get in and do what they needed to do. But you know, it didn't work for them. But I'm glad that Ms. Ellison did get on the school board.
Yes. We definitely are.
Mr. Edwards,
you have a call.
You're listening to On Point. I've just temporarily lost Mr. Edwards due to technical difficulty on the air here, and we'll see if we can't get him back on the air here shortly.
I can still hear you, Don.
I have some beautiful Christmas music.
Yeah, I think Don may have lost himself, if you will.
I'm sorry. Are you back, Mr. Edwards?
Yeah, you never lost me, Don. I could hear you the whole time.
Oh, okay, because I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry about that. I thought I lost.
Yeah, I could hear you. I could hear you the same time. Probably some of the atmospheric transmissions, if you will. I'm close to a a very sophisticated military transmission center, so possibly some interference there. But no, I caught everything that you said. I caught everything. I thought that we had maybe a call coming in. I thought maybe someone had decided to call and comment on Ms. Ellison, because I didn't, like I said, I just think it was an outstanding decision and selection by the Board of Education, and there to be commended. I just cannot understand the attack led by English, Stewart, and others against her. You know, she's never done anything to them. She's never been hostile to them. She's never undermined their positions, if you will. And what you just said earlier about the kind of person that she is, she's a very principled human being. You know, I guess that's the kind of person that they're not used to dealing with. Oops.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. I agree 100%, Mr. Edwards. It just was really really unusual that they would send a letter and then the Star and Tribune would publish it. You know, and this is the second time that the Star and Tribune has published a letter sent from them. You remember the first one is when Superintendent Dr. Johnson went on that $200,000 plus spending spree and laying off 52 teachers.
Right.
And they sent a letter to the Board of Education from Minneapolis Public Schools and said, hey, We don't want you chastising Superintendent Johnson's decisions, and she needs the freedom to make those kind of decisions. So
yes.
So back down, and they tabled that discussion. You haven't heard anything else of it. And so this is the
They did make some modifications to some of her authority, but nowhere near what initially was being said when the board was extremely upset, and rightly so. Now, what they did do, which was kind of interesting, at that same board meeting this past Tuesday that you're talking about, they did give her a $12,000 performance bonus.
Yes, they did.
Though she could have gotten as much as $50,000, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But they gave her $12,000 and, you know, basically said she did a pretty good job, you know. But I think there was a signal there with respect to the reduced amount. Of course, they could have given her zero. I mean, you know, we'd be finding a reason to say that, well, that was a red flag. But I think $12,000 is a red flag, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Because on the other hand, her counterpart in St. Paul, who actually had the board give her $25,000 to move and relocate back in the city, and et cetera. Oh, by the way, the superintendent still has not relocated back in the city.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that, Don?
I did not know that.
Yeah, the superintendent still is not, you know, she's still in a nice townhouse out there in that suburb of Brooklyn Park. Yeah, but hey, what the heck? Who are we? Because as was said on that radio program on that contemporary station the other day, sick and tired of hearing from the critics, if you will. You know, they need to just tone it down and, you know, just kind of put their nose to the grindstone and shut their mouths kind of thing. Yeah. You know, one thing I've always been told, I sure wants to mind. You know, I always want to mind. You know what I mean? Like I'd be told to.
I wants to
mind. Anything else, Don, we got? By the way, sources are saying to me that it looks like that our chief of police may be in some trouble. Star Tribune, again, who you just mentioned, wrote a very peculiar article with respect to the so-called Civilian Review Authority chastising the chief in a report about the fact that the chief does not discipline officers after there are findings by the Civilian Review Authority and of course, its parent organization, the Civil Rights Department. I don't know why they're writing that. I mean, they wrote that same kind of story 3 years ago. I guess the reason is all the money, and you certainly on this program last Saturday broke some information about continued payouts. I guess it was something to make us feel good and fuzzy about as we move into the holidays that the chief is continuing or the department under his leadership has continued to pay out enormous costs for police brutality and et cetera. But we've all known that for a long time. So, But the word is that the article was positioned because though the chief's term is up in January of 2013, a year from now, the word is that Mayor R.T. Ryback would like to see him go early because the chief feels that he may be a albatross around the mayor's neck, and as the mayor considers a run for his fourth term in a couple of years.
Yes. In 2013, municipal elections, the mayors, the council members, and
yes. So you know that the wife of the number two man at Northwest Area Foundation, Betsy Hodges, is letting it be known that she is a candidate and could be solicited. Maybe that's a poor choice of words. Could be encouraged to run for mayor in 2013. Betsy Hodges, Democratic councilwoman, I guess she's a Democrat, Democratic councilwoman out of the far south ward out there, indicates that, 13th, if I'm not mistaken, indicates that she is a potential candidate for mayor in private conversations and consultations. So I just think it's important, you know, we make sure we get that out there, you know. She being the wife of Gary Cunningham, the number two man in Northwest Area Foundation. And so that's going to bring about a lot of interesting politics involving the city council, the philanthropic community. You know, that's somehow that $28 million is going to be used, to help the Democratic Party maintain the plantation.
Exactly.
But, yeah, Betsy Hodges now. Elizabeth Clinton is also been talking and doing some exploratory, if you will. Elizabeth Clinton, Democrat, eighth ward, DFL eighth ward, has been whispering that, you know, let me tell you the reason this exploded, Don, very quickly in about a minute's time. We got about 4 minutes left.
Yes.
It came about as an outgrowth of a serious rupture in the Democratic Party behind the efforts of Mayor R.T. Ryback to stab the Dietzic machine in the back during that special election for Senator Pogermiller's seat. Senator Pogermiller, 20 years senator from over there in Northeast Minneapolis, moved on to the private world as some other Democratic senators and representatives. And what happened was R.T. Ryback and some of the current Democrats on the council and others attempted to stab Walt Disick's, you know, baby girl in the back and defeat her. And, of course, she overwhelmed everybody. And now will finish out Pogermiller's term and will be a candidate for a full four-year term. But, you know, I had to mention that because I've been criticized. Some criticism had come to me, Don, why we had not talked about the stabbing in the back and the treachery of R.T. Ryback and the Democratic machine against the D.C. Fable.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. She just friended me on Facebook, matter of fact, Mr. Edwards. That was really nice of her.
Yes, a very nice young lady, Karen, known her since she was a baby, if you will, the old Dietzic family. Walt Dietzic, one of the great friends and comrades of the late legendary Inspector Raymond Presley of the Minneapolis Police Department, the first African-American to hold the rank of inspector in the department. Raymond Presley, born and raised in St. Paul. Dietzic and Presley were just two very close friends. And so, you know, I always had a chance periodically to talk to Walt. And it is interesting how much anger there is in Northeast Minneapolis behind R.T. Ryback and them's actions, if you will. So, you know, maybe in 2012 we'll just kind of keep an eye on that, Don. But, you know, we're beginning to wrap it up. Anything else on your end there in the Beltway?
No, we want to wish everyone, you know, a Merry Christmas here, Happy Holiday, whatever you celebrate, and hope Santa comes down the chimney and brings you what you want. So,
absolutely. Now, I will be giving additional backup to the $28 million on our broadcast here from the Midwest, if you will, on tomorrow,
okay,
if you will, and also on our Sunday television program to air there tomorrow in Minneapolis. We'll be talking about the $28 million and some other things, and then we'll go into additional details about some other aspects that are happening. But we on our Sunday broadcast tomorrow will certainly get continued back up to what we've been talking about here on Point. I just think that what you and others heard on the urban contemporary stage, particularly that part about that, what was it that the bloggers or the communicators should be held responsible for their own actions? Is that right?
Yeah, held accountable. Yeah.
Yeah, held accountable. Man, if I'm one of the ones they talk, man, I'll have no problem about being held accountable.
No, he's not.
Yes, sir. Oh, by the way, one of the things I say to him, get a chance, read my book, The Minneapolis Story, printed over a decade ago, and it talks in terms of some of them folk up there and the role they played in the gentrification, which ultimately led to Richard Copeland losing all of his land.
Exactly. Right this way out.
Yes, sir. Well, Don, you have a beautiful holiday out there in D.C. We'll be doing a little bit more traveling right after Christmas Day.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of stories that we're working on this end, particularly with respect to the right-wing fanatics. I got to tell you, man, they're on the move.
Yes,
they're
going to
be doing some very damaging things in 2012. It's really going to be sad. But the very best, and to our listening audience, man, you know, God's safety, and because Christmas really, Don, is all about the children.
Yes.
You know.
I agree.
All right, my brother. Take care.
Merry Christmas, Edwards.
Merry Christmas.